You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, Transaction Capital, which provides finance and insurance to minibus taxi operators through its SA Taxi division, has announced the resumption of its interim divvy after reporting a strong recovery in earnings following the fallout from COVID-19. Transaction Capital's results for the half year didn't contain many surprises. The management team that we've come to know as a model of consistency did announce that the We Buy Cars minority buyout is a bit sooner than expected. I had thought it might happen in the fourth quarter. No price agreed yet, though, and I've got CEO David Hurwitz on the line. David, welcome. This allows you to consolidate earnings and have more strategic influence over We Buy Cars. But before we get to that, just briefly, your thoughts on how you managed to get the business back to pre-pandemic levels so quickly.
Yeah, Michael, thanks for having me on the show. We're really happy with the way that we have been able to adjust to the new environment. I think our results is a combination of both organic and acquisitive growth. As you say, the acquisitive side coming from We Buy Cars. But both of our existing divisions, SA Taxi and TCRS, have done really well. At SA Taxi, what we've really seen is, and I speak about this a lot, the taxi industry being so baked into the South African economy makes it so resilient, and hence that industry recovered pretty quickly post-COVID. Collections up to January and activity up to January increased to about 95% of pre-COVID levels. As we went into January this year and went into that lockdown level, it dipped, but only slightly to about 87%. So as we see a third and a fourth wave coming to the country, we kind of see activity vacillate between high 80s and high 90s. So that business has done really well. And in TCRS, where we collect debt, surprisingly, the South African consumer has been resilient. And we are starting to see more and more matters. As the banks had frozen collections and are now starting to collect again, we're seeing more and more activity in that space. We were very aggressive on cost cutting, and this has all resulted in very good organic growth from those two divisions.
As I said earlier, the We Buy Cars deal is very interesting, and doing that minority buyout now allows you to consolidate earnings and have a far more strategic say over the business. Do options have specific prices agreed, or does the value generated since the 49.9% deal was announced accrue to the sellers?
Yeah, so when we first entered into the first transaction that we did, there were a series of puts and calls, mainly at the option of the sellers. And really what the sellers have seen is that our ability to impact that business as a majority shareholder would be significant, specifically around the area of finance and insurance, which is very big in the auto space. We are finance and insurance specialists, and you know, they think that they can increase unit economics by adding on a finance and insurance competency. So that's what they're after, and that's why they chose to accelerate this process. From our perspective, you know, we're really excited about the management team. We're really excited about the resilience of the business. We've seen how it's traded through COVID almost without a hiccup. And the sector is just such an exciting sector. Secondhand sales, car sales internationally have been very, very strong.
Yep.
And I think the second thing is that vehicles and secondhand vehicles have become a very hot online or e-commerce asset class. And that's exactly what this business does. If you look internationally, there are businesses similar to We Buy Cars with, you know, very strong growth prospects and very high valuations. And, you know, we're very excited about that.
I think it's a great business. We know NusPass tried to buy it some time ago and was blocked by the competition authorities. If you walk through those We Buy Cars warehouses and go and kick the tires on a few cars, it's just a great experience. And it's got that online component as well. You said you really are F&I, finance and insurance specialists, and there is considerable optionality. If you can introduce F&I products and more vehicles are sold to consumers and not dealers, because currently the majority of vehicles acquired, as I understand it, are sold to dealers, and dealers don't really buy F&I. What's your outlook and strategy here?
Yeah, so at the moment, what we're seeing is about 40% of our vehicles sold are sold to dealers. And the benefit of that is most of that is done through e-commerce, so the dealers will buy without seeing the car. They trust our brand, and they know that if the car isn't what they thought it was, that, you know, they can return it. And we will build that trust with consumers as well. But selling to dealers helps us because you get a very quick stock turn. You can buy the car and sell it, you know, literally within hours, certainly within a few days, and earn a very nice low double-figure margin. So that helps us, but you're quite right. You can almost double your margins if you add on a finance and insurance boutique of products. So the strategy will really be to develop the B2C e-commerce process where we can buy and sell cars quickly but still not give up that ability to also earn F&I. We're not going to displace. We do have banks and insurers sitting on our floors. We're not going to displace those guys. I think there's a place for everybody. In certain areas, we'll just earn a broker fee, which is where we are right now. And in other areas, we'll actually hold the insurance and credit risk ourselves.
And on the SA Taxi front, what opportunities are there to sell and finance taxis in We Buy Cars?
So I think the one thing that's interesting is that we had planned a rollout of dealerships across the country, and what we had done is, prior to these negotiations, we had actually piloted on a complete arm's length basis, selling a few taxis through their dealership in Cape Town, and that worked very well. So I think that could assist us in not having to build that infrastructure. And, you know, we could rely on some of the physical infrastructure around the country.
Right. And if you look at the non-performing loans in SA Taxi, still quite high, but payments at 95% currently is a positive. What does the Toyota production and the demand-supply imbalance in Toyota Taxi production look like currently?
Yeah, so Toyota production has been impacted. They're only producing about 1,000 minibus taxis, and pre-COVID they were at about 1,200, but moving to 1,500. So that has impacted us. The other thing that impacts us is that the price of that Toyota keeps on going up. So a few years ago what we did is we worked very hard at developing our pre-owned product. When you repossess a car, we've invested hundreds of millions of rands into a very high-tech refurbishment capability where we can take a taxi with 400,000 kilometers on the clock, put a new engine in there, repanel, beat the entire car, fix the mechanics of the entire car, and then refinance, and reinsure that car. And that's really helped us. So what we saw this half was volumes of new vehicles actually dipped below 2020 levels, but volumes of what we call pre-owned cars, or in actual fact, quality renewed taxis, volumes of QRTs increased by about 40%, and that helped us to get our volumes of loans originated and insurance policies originated back up again to grow on pre-COVID levels.
And, you know, the taxi industry has been in the news this past week for the amount of tax that it pays. What do you make of the 5 million rand that the taxi industry pays in taxes every year?
Yeah, you know, I refute that number. I'm not sure how they calculate that. But what I can say with a high level of confidence is that the taxi industry does contribute over 8 billion rands in terms of fuel levies and VAT. You know, that we know. We know the volumes of taxis bought in the country, and we can impute from our fleet that the litres of fuel that they would buy. So it's not, I don't think it's entirely fair. I'm not arguing that the industry should not pay tax. I think they should. But I think the debate needs to, you can't just focus on one data point. I think, first of all, as I say, there is a payment of fuel levies and there's a payment of that. I think the second thing is they are by far the largest component of public transport, about 84 to 85% of public transport. They are growing, bus and train are shrinking, and bus and train sucks out of the fiscus a huge subsidy. So I think all of these things need to be put on the table, and then government should have a proper debate with the industry. Obviously, you know where I sit. You know, the industry is a shareholder in our business, and we are focused on developing and growing the industry. And for that reason, you could say my views are biased, but I think they're actually pretty logical.
I think fair points that you have raised. Transaction Capital CEO David Hurwitz.